This is our fifth Sunday on a series called Tackling Tough Topics. We've had quite a journey. We've talked about the wrath and the jealousy of God. We've talked about sexuality. We've talked about election and predestination. Last Sunday, Matt did a great job on who is my neighbor. Today, we're focusing on the Holy Spirit. And I know what you're thinking. How come the Holy Spirit made the list of tackling tough topics? Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Here's why. Because I spent years as a Christian totally defeated and frustrated because I did not know what I'm about to tell you today about the Holy Spirit. Second reason, I'm a pastor and I deal with hundreds of people, and all across our church I see confusion about who the Holy Spirit is and lots of folks grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. So that's why it made the list. And so I want to begin today by giving you an analogy related to Niagara Falls. How many have ever been to Niagara Falls? Beautiful place, isn't it? And three ways of looking at the falls based on the history. First of all, when French explorers first came to Niagara Falls, they were fascinated by the legends that the Indians living around the falls held. And one of the legends was this: at the base of the fall, there was the thunder god who lived under the falls. And one day, a young maiden who was newly married, her husband died, and in grief, she put herself in a canoe and went over the falls. And the myth is that the thunder god saved her life. And then a huge serpent came and poisoned the waters, and so the people of her tribe were dying, and so she asked the thunder god, "Let me go back so I can warn them." She was granted permission, went back, warned them, and they killed the snake. And then the theory was that his big body formed the oval of the falls. That's what it's falling over. And if you take a ride in Niagara Falls today, you'll hear the myth of the Maiden of the Mist, that she appears in the mist and she's still there protecting her people. Time went by and they built roads to Niagara Falls, and it became a very popular tourist trap. It became the honeymoon capital of the world. My wife's grandparents had their honeymoon there. That's not them, but it's it's all I could find. I didn't have time to get the picture at home, print it, and so you get the point. Okay. However, there's a third stage. Some electrical engineers came along and they thought, you know, this is great power. We can harness this power. And they built a hydroelectric plant that furnishes power to New York and Canada. Now, what's the point? There are three attitudes toward the falls. Those historical views parallel the three attitudes people have toward the Holy Spirit. And I've had all three. Number one, when I was raised in church, as a boy, I heard about the Holy Ghost, and I didn't care for ghosts. And I didn't want anything to do with some Holy Ghost. That was kind of the myth tale view. Then as I grew up, I learned more about the Holy Spirit, but I saw the Holy Spirit in people like Billy Graham. I mean, there's the power of the Holy Spirit, almost like a tourist admiring the falls. Or the first hero of my life, George Washington Carver, a Christian who was a scientist who, with a peanut, developed over 300 products, and he did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Then I went to college, and through Campus Crusade and that little blue booklet I held up, I learned who the Holy Spirit is, how he works, and how he empowers my life. I've never been the same. I mean, look where I ended up. I never thought I'd be a pastor. All three views are represented here today. Some of you, you hear about the Holy Spirit, it sounds kind of mystical and mysterious. And some of you admire it in other people. But today we want to tell you how you can have a healthy relationship with the Holy Spirit. His power can be harnessed in your life, and God will unleash His power through you like you never imagined. So we're going to answer three questions. First of all, who is the Holy Spirit? You can't have much of a relationship with Him if you don't know who He is. Second, what is His role in your life? He has a job description. What is it? If you don't know what it is, how can you cooperate? And then third, how do I develop a healthy relationship with the Holy Spirit? Now, I'm going to give you a volley of verses in the first part of this message. And again, I've recorded everything in your notes, so you've got them. So this is just one. Listen and let it soak in. So first of all, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is not an it. Have you ever referred to God the Father or Son as it? Well, then quit calling the Holy Spirit it. The Holy Spirit is God. He's third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is not a ghost, not an influence, not a force. He's not a junior deity, third string on the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God, co-equal with God the Father, God the Son. You cannot get past the second verse in your Bible without seeing the Holy Spirit moving over the surface of the deep. He brings order and harmony out of chaos. In Psalm 139, he's omnipresent. David said, Lord, where can I flee from thy Spirit? Nowhere. The Holy Spirit's omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is responsible for the virgin birth. The angel said the child is by the Holy Spirit. It's of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power that brought Jesus Christ out of the grave and restored him to life. It's the same power that's in the heart of every believer. The Holy Spirit is all-knowing. In 1 Corinthians 2, it says that he searches the mind of God and then he reveals the thoughts of God to us. So he's all-knowing. He knows the mind of God. The Holy Spirit is eternal, according to Hebrews 9. The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity. Baptize them in the name, singular, and then it lists three, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is God. He is co-equal with God the Father, God the Son. The Holy Spirit inspired the Scriptures. And you can't even understand the Scripture without the aid of the Holy Spirit. Now, knowing he's God, third person of the Trinity, you say, well, so what? Huge so what? It's showing us that God is a God who wants to get extremely close to us. He wants you to experience him. Look at it this way. In the Old Testament, God came and he revealed himself by dwelling in the temple and the tabernacle. And through the priest and the sacrifice and the Holy of Holies, they would enter the presence of God. And then God got a little bit closer. He entered the human race in the person of Jesus Christ. And it was God dwelling among us in the person of Christ. But he could only be one place at a time. And guess what? Today, when you believe on Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. God himself takes up residence inside of you through the Holy Spirit. So if you want to experience God, you do that through the Holy Spirit who connects you with the Father and the Son. That leads to the second question. The Holy Spirit is God, third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit has a job description. And I want to tell you, he's on duty 24/7, 365, eager to fulfill his work in every true believer in Christ. And he also works with unbelievers. So what is the role of the Holy Spirit? First, with people who don't believe, the Holy Spirit works. In John 16, Jesus said this to his disciples. You know, it's to your advantage that I'm going away. How come? Because if I don't go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, won't come to you. But when he comes to you to live within you, guess what he'll do? He'll convict the world, those outside of Christ. He'll convict, which means to convince of the truthfulness of three things. Of sin, the sin of unbelief in Christ. Of righteousness, a standard Christ can fulfill, you can't. And judgment. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So here's an analogy. A young boy went to Disneyland. He was with his parents. He was having a ball. He was eating the cotton candy, and he had Mickey Mouse and the rides and Goofy. And he didn't realize after a while that he had wandered away from his parents. And then suddenly it dawned on him. My parents aren't here. And suddenly Disneyland became disaster land. He didn't care about anything but finding his parents. Now that little boy had to come to terms with two truths. Number one, you're lost. Number two, you need a guide to get you back to your parents. Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit convinces people who are in this Disneyland world, you're out of fellowship with your Creator. You are lost. It's the Holy Spirit's job. And He guides you back to the Father. That's His job. So He convicts of sin, the sin of unbelief in Christ. You may be here today saying, I believe in Jesus. I believe it's true. But you've never really submitted your will and you know it. The Holy Spirit's going to target you and say, you need to believe. You know that God is righteous. Jesus modeled it. There's a standard you can't meet. And the Holy Spirit convinces you you're a sinner. And third, the Holy Spirit convinces you you're going to be judged. Judgment is coming and you can't escape it. So the Holy Spirit gets you lost so that He can push you to Christ where you can get saved. His convicting work. I was at the Arlington County Fair with lots of you who... Wasn't it fun manning the booths if you did that? And on a Friday night, I was loving meeting all these people, and we had two little chairs set up, and this older lady came by and sat down in a chair and just sat there, and she was taking it in, and I sat down next to her, and she unloaded on me. She wanted to know, how do you know the Bible is the Word of God, and Jesus the only way, all the classics. Now, I was having a ball. I just got to answer all this for over an hour. And after I was all done, she got this look on her face, and she said, how do I do it? What do I do? I went, Holy Spirit, led her to Christ. She was realizing she's lost. She needed a Savior. That's His job. Now, the Holy Spirit has a role in the believer's life, and we're going to cover 14 of these, sweeping overview, because we need to know what the Holy Spirit does. First of all, the Holy Spirit regenerates, which means He causes you to be born again, which means He takes the Word of God about Christ, you believe it, and He gives you new life. The life of God is planted in you when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you. He gives you the life of God. He regenerates you when you believe in Christ. Second, you can be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now start listening carefully. There's a lot of confusion about baptism with the Holy Spirit. So here it is, bottom line, simple. There are only 7 places in your New Testament that mentions baptism with the Holy Spirit. Only 7. So let's walk them through. The first 4 is where John the Baptist says of Jesus, He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now listen to that. Jesus is the baptizer. The agent is the Holy Spirit. Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's 4. They all say the same thing. 2 more references in Acts, which are quoting what the gospel said. So now you got those all saying the same thing. 1 other place, 1 Corinthians 12:13. And listen to this. It's very important. He's talking to these believers. Some speak in tongues, some don't. But here's what he says you've all got in common. You have all been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you've all been made to drink of the same Spirit. So here's what we learn. Baptism with the Holy Spirit is for every believer in Christ. It means the moment you trust Christ, you are baptized, identified with, placed into the body of Christ. Everybody gets it the moment you're saved. That's baptism with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit identifies you with the body of Christ by coming to live within you the moment you trust Christ. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. As we go through these, I get really excited. Sealed with the Holy Spirit is mentioned in Ephesians 1, Ephesians chapter 4, and it's ownership. That the Holy Spirit dwells within you and it's a mark of ownership. You belong to God. You're not your own. Now, ownership really makes the value go up. Did you know there's a set of golf clubs that sold for $720,000? Do you know why? They belong to John F. Kennedy. If it's owned by him, the value went up. Who owns you? The Holy Spirit. What's your value? You are sealed with the Holy Spirit, a mark of ownership. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, Romans 8. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ that He died for you and rose again, at that moment the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you. And you never get more of the Holy Spirit than you got the day you were saved. But I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit will get more of you. You don't get more of him. He gets more of you as you grow. He indwells you. Do you have a few little things that kind of grate you when you hear it? Let me tell you one of mine. When people say, we're in the house of God, I go, why? This isn't the house of God. You are the house of God. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. You are a walking temple. Now, what makes it exciting, if you get all those temples in one room, you can sense the presence of God. But the building isn't the house of God. We are. He indwells us. Filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that at the end of the message. But basically, it means to be under the influence of, under the control of, and it uses the analogy of being drunk, under the control of the Holy Spirit. Now, what we're going to look at from here on in the list is once you're filled with, controlled by the Holy Spirit, here's how He works in your life. First of all, He will assure you of your salvation. Some of you have trusted Christ. Like, if you're like me, I did it 100 times growing up, hoping one of them would take. You ever done that? And wondered, am I really in? Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit does. He bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. That's His job, to assure you. And guess what His voice is? The Bible. And guess what the Bible teaches? If you've trusted Christ, you can't be snatched out of His hand. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to assure you. The Holy Spirit leads and guides and teaches. Now, have you noticed every single Sunday before I preach the Word, I always do something. I'm intentional about it. I lead you in prayer, and I always say, Holy Spirit, illuminate our minds. Only the Holy Spirit can teach you the Scripture. Without His aid, it makes no sense. And the Holy Spirit helps you understand the Scripture to guide you. For example, growing up, I had a negative attitude toward the local church. And the last thing I ever, ever wanted to be was a pastor until my wife's mother and mother-in-law started praying for me. And then I was listening to a young pastor named John MacArthur talk about the priority of the local church from 1 and 2 Timothy, and the light went on. And the Holy Spirit took that word, put it in my heart, and said, that's what you're supposed to do. I've never looked back. That's how the Holy Spirit guides, through the Word of God. He comforts, counsels, and helps. Jesus said, it's to your advantage I go away. If I don't go away, the helper, the counselor, the comforter, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. Now, it's a beautiful word. It means called alongside to help. When there's a teardrop on earth among a believer, the Holy Spirit comes and counsels. We had a funeral here this week. The family sat right there on the front, and we're weeping. Maud Foley, who was 96, died, but they were still grieving. But the Holy Spirit comes. He gives comfort and counsel. The Holy Spirit also pushes you to obedience. I know some of you have experienced what I'm about to describe. I know it's there. It just comes with being a Christian. You've got things in your life you have prayed for, you've begged God for, you've claimed promises, and it didn't happen. It blew up in your face. And now you're ticked off. And you're mad at God. And you're disappointed. And you're keeping your distance. Can you relate to this? Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit does. He pushes you to repent. He says, you know, the reason you're mad at God is because that thing was more important to you than God. And you forgot you're in sales, not management. And you need to go back and trust Him. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He gives spiritual gifts as He wills. Once you're born again, you get at least one spiritual gift, probably more. And a spiritual gift is your capacity to minister in the body of Christ. So let me tell you what that tells me about the Holy Spirit. He's against something in our culture, totally against it. He's against consumerism Christianity. Do you know what that is? I'm going to check out what will entertain me the most. What feeds me? I want to be fed. And I'm going to show up, get fed, and get out of there. That's consumerism. That's not Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit pushes you, get connected, use your gifts, contribute. Don't just take, contribute. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And that's why He gave you a spiritual gift, to use it. The Holy Spirit prays for you. Romans 8 says, We don't know how to pray as we should. And we all say, amen. But the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, some say that's a heavenly language. But the emphasis is not on a heavenly language. The emphasis is on the Holy Spirit interceding for you according to the will of God. I praise God for that. There's not a hardly a day goes by that I don't face a situation where I say, Lord, I don't have a clue what to do. I don't even know how to pray. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're praying. You're taking my little lack of wisdom and you pray and you download wisdom to me. The Holy Spirit produces Christ-like character in the believer. It took me years to get this through my head. It's impossible for me to live the Christian life on my own. Utterly impossible. But guess what? I got the third person of the Trinity on duty, living in me, who empowers every part of my life if I will only yield to His power. And He produces Christ-like character. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it lists the nine fruit. But it doesn't say fruits. It says fruit. How come? Because if you get the Holy Spirit, you get all of them at once. You don't, okay, today we'll give you a little love, tomorrow a little patience. No, you get it all. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How would you like to be around somebody like that? That somebody like that lives in you. And that's what He wants to produce through us. And just a little sidebar in our sex-crazed culture. The Bible defines sex. It says it's between a man and a woman in marriage, and anything outside of that is sin. And do you know what 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8 says? If you reject that, you've rejected the Holy Spirit who's been given to you. That's where your argument is. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. The Holy Spirit empowers you to witness. Now, if you've come to Christ, I'll tell you what came with it. The moment you trusted Christ, you know what you wanted to do? You wanted your relatives and friends to know Jesus, right? That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives you the courage, the wisdom, and the power to tell them about Jesus. That's His job, to empower you to witness. Next one, the Holy Spirit came to glorify Christ. This is so important. The Holy Spirit didn't come to glorify Himself. He came to glorify Christ. He did not come to glorify a church or a spiritual leader or a movement. He claimed to glorify Christ. I'll give you an example. My wife's sisters came up for a girl retreat a few weeks ago, stayed at our house, and one of my jobs was to give them the tour of the monuments in D.C. at night. And we had a great time, and when we came back, I'll tell you, they never said those lights on the monument were awesome. What they did say is the monuments were awesome. And the light didn't glorify itself, it glorified the monument. The light of the Holy Spirit is to show off Jesus. And the mark that you're in tune with the Holy Spirit is, Jesus is amazing. I finally understand who He is and what He does. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to glorify Christ. And I love this last one. He raises and changes our bodies. Right now, the Holy Spirit gives us new life in these old fleshly bodies. And the Bible says that we're going to get a new resurrection body in heaven. I can't wait. I mean, you'll get to eat in heaven, check out Revelation. And you won't grow in places you don't want to grow. And no more memory lapses and traveling the speed of thought. Woohoo! The Holy Spirit's going to do that. He gives you a new resurrection body. He brought Jesus out of the grave, new resurrection body. He'll do the same to us. Now, here's what I want to ask you to do with what I just went through. If you're a parent, please teach this to your children. I would have given anything if my mama and my daddy had walked me through this. Because they would have avoided years of defeat as a Christian. I just didn't know. Teach them. If you're a defeated Christian, put this list by your pillow or your bedstand every week, every day this next week when you wake up. Review the job description of the Holy Spirit. Start your day that way. I promise you it'll change. Okay, that leads to the last question. How do I develop a healthy relationship with the Holy Spirit? Now we're going to look at what we call parallel passages. These are two passages in the New Testament that parallel each other. They're teaching the same truth, but from a different angle. Ephesians 5 talks about being full of the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3 talks about let the word of Christ dwell within you richly. And the result of being full of the Spirit and the result of the word dwelling within you richly are the same. Now that tells me something. The word of God and the Spirit of God always walk hand in hand. Do you know the Holy Spirit has a voice? It's the word of God. Do you know that the Bible has power, but it has no power unless the Holy Spirit empowers it? Now, we say something at Cherrydale all the time, three essential disciplines. Word of God, Spirit of God, people of God. You've got to have all three. Now, as we go through this, you'll see all three show up. So let's start with Ephesians chapter 5. And if you had your Bible and you looked at what's right before it, here's what's right before it. The days are evil. How many of you are noticing we're in the days of evil time? I hear it all the time, don't you? What does the Bible say to do about it? Glad you asked. Look at verse 17. So then, because the days are evil, do not be foolish. We get our word moron from that. Don't be a moron. Instead, understand the will of the Lord. Know what it is. And then he's going to tell you God's will, and God's will is to be full of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine. How many of you have seen drunk people? How do you know if they're drunk? It affects their speech. It affects their reasoning, their relationships, their physical body. Don't get drunk with wine. That's dissipation. Be filled with, be drunk with, under the control of the Holy Spirit. Now let's take that little command, be filled. It's a present tense verb, which means do it over and over and over and over. It's not a one-time deal. The Bible never commands a Christian, be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You already are. They never commands you, be sealed with the Holy Spirit. You already are. Be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. I already am. But it does tell you, be filled. So every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Not every Christian is filled by the Holy Spirit, because we can grieve, quench, and resist the Holy Spirit. Continually allow the Holy Spirit to control you, which means simply this. Okay, I know who the Holy Spirit is. I know his job description. I want to cooperate. I yield to him moment by moment by moment. I'm under his gracious control. Do you see the difference between indwelt and filled? When my wife and I were newlyweds, we lived in Portland, Oregon, and everybody went hiking around Mount Hood, and we thought, well, we'll get into this, and we're dirt poor, so we'll go to Kmart, and we'll get us a little two-man tent and a little backpack, and we're going to go to this beautiful place called Ramona Falls. And Ramona Falls, it took about an hour and a half to get there. Of course, getting all our stuff ready, we arrived to start hiking late in the day, about 10:30 at night, in pitch black. We arrive at Ramona Falls. All we can do is hear the falls and look at it with our flashlight. And we build our little two-man tent, and we get in our tent, and we have our sleeping bags in there, and I have a flashlight. It's filling the tent. And we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, I still to this day don't know what it was, but the big Hulk in the woods went right in front of our tent. Scared the wits out of me. So we covered that light with a sleeping bag and sat there like this. An hour later, it went away. And then we took the sleeping bag off, the light filled the tent again. See, indwelt, filled. And P.S., when we woke up in the morning, there was a sign above our tent that said, no camping. Difference between being indwelt and being filled. Now look at the byproduct of being full of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 19. First result, speaking to who? One another. Please don't miss this. The Holy Spirit pushes you to the family of God. The Holy Spirit pushes you to be in a place where you're speaking to one another. Remember, Word of God, Spirit of God, people of God. The first evidence that the Holy Spirit's controlling you is what comes out of your mouth. Speaking to one another, and look what's there. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. You delight in God because the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ and you delight in Him. Singing, making melody in your heart. Your attitude changes, always giving thanks. Your relationships are transformed. Be subject to one another, not pushing your own way. Those are all evidences of the Holy Spirit. Our deacons met last Monday night and I arrived late to the meeting, and I'm glad I did because I looked down the hallway and there in our conference room the door was open and there were men on their knees praying. That was our deacons. That's how they begin every meeting. That's Holy Spirit work. And then we started our meeting and the chairman said, let's do a word from Word. Just share quickly. Where have you been in the Word? They went around the table. Instantly you could see these men are in the Word. That's Holy Spirit work. We ended the meeting because it was transition from old board to new board. And he said, just go to the deacon next to you, give him a word of encouragement right around the room. That's Holy Spirit work. When our advisory board met and we dealt with the budget issues and all this stuff, we kept stopping and praying and stopping and praying and stopping and praying. We prayed 15, 20 times in that meeting. That's Holy Spirit work. That's how He works. Now, Colossians chapter 3, 16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell within you richly. Now, let me contrast the command, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and this command, dwell within. Be full of the Holy Spirit is a present tense, keep on doing it, passive voice. I'm receiving the action the Holy Spirit's doing to me. Be dwell within is an active voice. Present tense, keep doing it, but you take the initiative. Open the Bible, read it, study it. The Holy Spirit empowers me, but I'm intentionally taking in truth, and look at the results. Speaking to one another, teaching and admonishing, thankfulness in your heart, everything for the glory of God. Byproduct of the Word of God, byproduct of the Spirit of God controlling you, same byproduct. So what do we learn? The Holy Spirit always pushes you to His voice, the Scripture. The Holy Spirit always pushes you to His family. He lives in the family of God. We need the Word of God, Spirit of God, and people of God consistently. And that's what it means to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Picture it this way. Jesus said in John 7, the Holy Spirit's like this river of life. But you know what I've noticed about rivers? They're really life-giving when they stay within their banks. When they overflow the banks, they're floods that are destructive. The Holy Spirit has banks. It's the Word of God. Always follows the path of the Word of God. Always. So if it's not in the Word, question, is that from the Holy Spirit? Or electricity in a conductor is another analogy. You can have electricity, but unless you have a conductor for it to flow through, it won't do you much good. The Holy Spirit is God's power. The conductor is the Word of God. And the more you get circuits in your mind learning the Word of God, the Holy Spirit has more to flow through. Or one more analogy from my boyhood. My grandparents, Granny and Papa, lived in Monroe, Georgia in the summers. I loved to go visit Granny and Papa, and they had a large acre and a half garden. And I learned about string pole beans. And you think, what does that have to do with the Holy Spirit? I'm glad you asked. A lot. String pole beans grow on poles. So the pole stands for the Word of God. The string bean has life within it. It pushes it, but it grows up the pole. And if it grows up the pole, the sunlight gets to it, and you can come and pick the beans. What would happen if there was no farmer and no pole to a string pole bean? I'll tell you, a gnarled up mess. There are a lot of Christians who have the Holy Spirit pushing them to grow, but there's no pole of the Word of God. There's no interaction with the family of God to help garden that. And when you put them together, you bear fruit. You walk in the power of the Holy Spirit moment by moment. Word of God, Spirit of God, people of God always go together. So, here we are. Let's make a decision. I have to ask myself and you one question. Will you intentionally develop a healthy relationship with the Holy Spirit. Will you do it? And if you're here today and you know the facts about Christ, you may even believe it's true, but you know in your heart you've never submitted your will to Christ, then listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and come to Christ today. And if you are a believer and you've been disappointed with God and you're mad at Him and keeping Him at a distance, repent and come back to the Spirit's power. If you've got secret sins in your life and habits that you're keeping a secret because you don't share with other believers, you're not in the Word of God, you're just going through the motions, repent. The Holy Spirit is so eager to unleash His power in all of us if we'll only repent and come by faith and keep cooperating. I'll tell you, the most miserable people on the planet, it's not unbelievers. I'll tell you who it is. It's Christians who aren't full of the Holy Spirit, who grieve, quench, and grieve the Spirit. You're miserable. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit's making you that way to get you to come back and repent. Do you know what's the most beautiful, wonderful thing you could ever, ever connect with? The body of Christ, full of the Holy Spirit. Nothing on earth like it. So will you pray with me today and invite the Holy Spirit to work in your life and cooperate with Him? Let's pray. Lord, I thank You that the Holy Spirit is always on duty. The Holy Spirit loves to reveal Christ and teach us and empower us and encourage us and comfort us and guide us. Thank You for His beautiful, manifold ministry. Today, if you've never trusted Christ, would you do it right now? Just invite Him to be your Savior and your Lord. Trust Him to forgive you. And if you are a believer and you haven't been intentional about yielding to the Holy Spirit, would you repent right now? Would you make today a fork in the road? Lord, every day, I want to remember who the Holy Spirit is and cooperate. Every day, I want to be in Your Word. Lord, every day, I want to engage with other believers who can speak into my life. Lord Jesus, I pray that You would make us a Spirit-filled church that brings You great honor, that we're like putty in Your hands so He can work through us. And Lord, as we come to communion, may we truly commune with You and not just go through the motions. And all God's people said, Amen.